Hey, honeys, just a little reminder that you are enough. Go out and be free.
After all of that was over and she went home, like probably 45, 50 years old, do you know what she did?
Tell me. Tell me what she did.
She started living her best life.
Child please. If you want it, you got it, go get it. Child please. The world is waiting for you.
Hey, honeys.
Hey, honey.
Hey, Felicia.
Hey, Ivy.
We want to welcome everyone to this special episode of Child Please. In this episode, we're taking a brief glimpse into Black women's march towards freedom to live, to work, to mother, to not work, to essentially do as we damn please without apology. So yes. We here at Child Please are laser focused on ensuring that Black women are seen from all angles, heard at a high volume with crystal clarity.
Crystal.
And given the respect that we are due.
Okay. Yes,
so
honey.
Let's get into it. This celebration is really about Juneteenth. And Juneteenth originated in Texas, but is now a widely celebrated holiday throughout the U.S. and even parts of Mexico. And just for those who don't know, Juneteenth is really about the day that the last of the unemancipated people who had been enslaved found out that they were emancipated. And so this celebrates the day that they found out, because you know what we always say, if everybody's not free, nobody's free.
Nobody's free. Honey, talk about it.
So we take this day to celebrate our freedom, our resilience in the face of white supremacy, and the joy that lives in our hearts that can never be extinguished.
Yes, I love that. I love the combination of freedom and joy, because freedom is actually one of my words. Like when people ask me what the goal is or what the theme is, for me, it's freedom. And that's freedom across the board, right?
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I want to explore a little bit about what freedom means to Black women of a certain age, of a certain vintage, shall we say.
Because, you know, at Honeychild, that is our main goal, right? We don't just want to try to show Black women being free on screen or pursuing freedom on screen. We actually want Black women to be free. And that's a very lofty goal, right? Yeah. Like we're shooting for the stars, essentially.
Exactly.
But I feel like that's the thing. That's the thing that I want for us.
Women should be able to be all the facets of themselves, as opposed to having to be in one mold. Because if Black people aren't monolithic, damn sure that Black women are not monolithic.
That makes me think just about the connection between freedom and humanity, right? Like one of the things that our ancestors were trying to maintain too was their humanity. And I feel like in a lot of the work that we do, we want to show us in our full humanity. We don't want to strip us of any parts of our humanity,
exactly.
But really show the fullness of it.
So for me, one of the big elements of freedom is about reinvention. Because I think that the idea that I could be anything has always been something that's been really cool to me, even as a young child.
Yeah.
But I think as an adult, when I started to pick up the idea that I could not only be anything, but I didn't have to be that for long.
Yes.
Like you could decide that there are phases in your life that you're going to do this. And then you can actually sort of think to yourself, what could I do differently? I have an aunt, for example, who, you know, in her 40s, when she decided that she was an executive at a big firm, that she wanted to be a lawyer and everybody was looking at her like she was crazy, you know, she went to law school and ended up having a great career in the legal field, became a judge, became a legal professor. But at 40, you know, when you're deciding those things, you're just like, I'm just going to have to do it and make it happen. And I love that idea of reinvention.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like that, especially if you think of whenever that time was for her in particular, that's a big risk.
It's a big one.
That's starting over and having to deal with all the things through systems and structures and school and institutions again.
And your husband, you know, not necessarily being cool with it, you know.
Honey, I ain't want to bring that piece
Sorry,
up.
Uncle Ed.
But I think about the fact that my mother would always say to me, like when she was coming out of school, she went to college, when she was coming out of school, the three options available were teacher, nurse, and social worker.
Yeah.
And I would always feel like my pursuit of the arts was because of the women who came before me who may not have had those options as readily available to them,
yeah.
especially my mother. And to go after dreams, I felt like was something that my mother helped to afford to me. So I think about that a lot in terms of now our ability to continue to not just choose a career outside of the three, but then like you're saying, to continue to reinvent ourselves. That doesn't work because I've had 20 million careers, already, okay? 50-11 careers. And that is a privilege.
Absolutely. You
know? And I'm very grateful for that, for sure.
It's interesting because for people who know me well, I had been obsessed with Harriet Tubman for a really long time. I know this sounds like a crazy, to be of a person to be obsessed with. Like, why are you obsessed with Harriet Tubman?
I get it. Harriet was a G. She was a G.
She really was. She was a soldier. But what was really interesting to me is like, yes, Underground Railroad. I hear that. Yeah. Okay. But that was actually early on in Harriet's life. Right? Like she ran from slavery in her 20s, and really from her 20s through her 30s was when she was out active in the Underground Railroad. And then came the Civil War. Harriet was about 40 when the Civil War started. And well, then she reinvented herself the first time. She became a nurse. Yes. She became a spy. She was the first woman to lead an armed assault during the Civil War. So she was like always out here in these streets, like completely helping the army to win the war. And then she reinvented herself again, because after all of that was over and she went home, like probably 45, 50 years old. Do you know what she did?
Tell me what she did.
She started living her best life. She married a guy 22 years younger than her. She adopted a baby.
Yes, she did.
She got a big house. And she lived her best life being an advisor to folks from the afar. She was like, I'm not getting all involved in that no more. I think I've done what I need to do.
You know why I love that so much, too? It sounds like she didn't have to rescue everybody to the ground. You know what I mean? So she had nothing left for herself. And I love that it sounds like she was able to live a little bit.
Find a little space of happiness of her own that wasn't about giving to everyone else.
Within the context of like wild shit happening, right? Within the context of like post-Civil War, close to post-Civil War. But still, and that to me is the beauty of Black people.
Yes.
Right? Is our ability or even our desire to want to carve a space of joy for ourselves in the midst of living under such oppressive institutions and laws and culture and countries. And so that is beautiful. Like, I didn't know that about her because, you know, they got Harry with the gun all the time. And I'm actually quite inspired by that.
Now, not to say that her last years weren't a fight, because, you know, she was fighting with the army to get her pension as a military service. And it was a whole sort of situation. But she tried to live a real and authentic life for that phase of her life. And yes. I think that's something I'm exploring myself because, you know, I've been really doing different things now. I've been exercising again. I've been eating better. My skin is looking all glowy. Like,
I mean, you are glowing, honey. I thought she was fucking. I didn't know what it was.
Girl, no, I'm just eating good. I'm just drinking water and minding my business. But I am thinking about, you know, my next phase, and I'm really trying to like, what is my new reinvention going to be about? Like when I come out of the chrysalis, you know, as a butterfly, where is that butterfly going to fly to? So I'm excited about when I hear these stories about even back then, Black women in these phases were thinking about like another step and a new thing. I get really excited.
No, I love that. You know, I'm kind of in the same boat as many of our listeners know, really thinking about the exit plan and then semi-retirement and all that. But what I've really been trying to also embrace is the idea that freedom, since that's my word and my pursuit, is actually internal and not necessarily external, right? So like even in the pursuit of quote unquote financial freedom or the pursuit of the things, like one example is like you may have a lot of money, but if you're still worried about money, you're not free. You know what I mean? So like, how do I really focus on the internal freedom and what that looks like for me, whether that's, you know, getting as close to my authentic self as possible, if that's boundaries, what does that look like? Because external shit is always going to be wild and I can't control that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But how do I find freedom within is something that I've really been thinking a lot about when I think about Black women and freedom and what that looks like today. And then how do we find the continued fight for our external freedoms? Because I is tired. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, how do we balance the two?
That's a really hard question. And I've spent a lot of time more recently working on more of my self-talk. Because like when you say, how do you get free inside? That is definitely something that I am working on deeply. Because it's so hard to realize that I am so hard on myself. And what you have to open up inside of you to like give yourself softness.
Yes.
That is the kind of freedom, like a freedom from the heart, always having to be so hard on myself for everything that I can't do or that I can't accomplish. Yes. Particularly because sometimes what you can't accomplish is surprisingly, one, less important than you thought it was. And two, the barriers to accomplishing that thing were oftentimes structural or like things that didn't have to do with your level of effort. Does that make sense?
At all. And for systems and places that were built without you in mind in the first place.
Word. No. So like we're talking about freedom and freedom within. Like one of the things that we were talking about recently at a work function was imposter syndrome. And, you know, this idea that many women feel that we're scared to step our foot into this new thing because like people are going to find out that we're not as smart as that we are. Somebody's going to find you out. You know what I mean? And I have always had this incredible like confidence in myself, but I realized that that confidence was built on a tremendous amount of adversity. And so the other day I thought about this, and this is so crazy, but I'm going to tell this quick story. So when I was in my 30s and still trying to sort of fit in, do you know what I mean? Still trying to like wear the right pantsuit, like straighten
from Macy's,
straighten my hair in the right way.
Which one from Macy's do I want to wear?
Straighten my hair in the right way. I wanted to sort of try to figure out in the corporate America how I was going to fit in. You know, I was still in that mode. And I remember going to, there was a job interview for a C-level position at a company, at a modeling agency. And I was really excited about this because what they were looking for was someone who had a lot of corporate experience in particularly partnerships and consumer products. And I was like, oh, I can do those things. So they were looking for someone who's going to build out this strategy, which I was like, oh, I'm perfect for this role. I had done all the phone interviews and they were in love with me. They were like, yes. Yes.
Of course they were. Of course they were.
So every phone interview was like, yes, you're the right person. Every person that I met was like, wow, we're so wowed by your resume and by the way that we've interacted. This is amazing. And so I go to do the final interview with the chairman of the board. And so we go down to this Gramercy restaurant. It's beautiful. And there was a nice hostess who brought me in. And we get to the back where he's got sort of a table that's all off by itself. So it's quiet back there. And he looks up at us and then he looks back down. He's like reading the newspaper or something. And so she calls his name again. She's like, oh, Mr. So-and-so, like, you know, Ivy Grant is here. And he looks up again. And without pausing, he says, where did you come from?
What?
I can feel my heart beating really fast right now. And at the time, I didn't know how to answer that question because how is anyone supposed to answer that question? So I'm sitting down with him. We have this really weird interaction. He's ordering breakfast and suddenly like it's just like it's not really an interview anymore. It's just like he's very busy and he's got to go and he's He's trying to figure out how to basically like get out of this whole situation. So he says, you know, I've got a meeting I forgot about or whatever. He gets up after he's finished his coffee or whatever and he leaves. And I remember I'm sitting in this restaurant by myself, feeling so terrible about myself. You know, these were the days when LinkedIn had first come out and like Black people were afraid to put their pictures on LinkedIn.
Yes. Yes.
Because
I mean, still.
Yes, because you thought, well, if I could just get an interview, if I could just wow them with my experience, if I could just prove that I was good and right and talented, if I could just show them that maybe if I got past the part where they saw my face, when they saw my skin, that I would be accepted. And I think that that experience, one, it ate away at me for a very long time. And it took me a very long time to talk about it without actually trembling. But it also was something that I internalized. Like I told myself somehow that it was my fault. I didn't say that to myself, but that was sort of what was brewing inside. That somehow maybe I wasn't as smart as I thought I was. And I wasn't as talented as I thought I was. Because look, when I show up, like that's, it's still not enough. And the confidence that I have today in who I am and whoever I decide I want to be next is built on dismantling this whole inner imposter thought that like, but that I didn't create, but that somehow if I didn't show my picture, if I didn't do these things, if I worked it just the right way that I could get in and they would see who I really was. But like, none of that, that's all bullshit.
I mean, because I'm like, is that even imposter syndrome, right? Like, I think it goes back to the humanity piece. One thing that I talk about a lot out here in Hollywood, I have to be very clear with folks, is that I am not in the business of proving Black humanity. There are a lot of people who are in the business, and it's good business. You know, it's fruitful business of proving Black humanity. I am not in the business of proving to folks our humanity at all. I am in the business of illuminating our full lives for ourselves so that we might be able to get free. Like that's that's what I'm focused on.
But it's
right. So like, but that's the thing. We are constantly having to prove our humanity, our worth, our value to folks just from the nature of what we look like. Like it's so absurd. It's so absurd, but it takes so much time.
And so much of your heart and your mind is wrapped up in, if I can just prove this thing, right?
And the thing is we can't prove it. Like that's the thing. And that's what I know. That's why I'm not in the business of it. Like they don't care. It is a futile activity, if you ask me. You know what I mean?
Like, and it is something that I want to get free of. And so I think for today, my confidence level is at 1,000 because I was able to work out some of the unshackling of things that weren't even mine to bear, but that were somehow tied up in my spirit. And I feel so much more free today because I'm not trying to prove anything to anybody. I am just me, and you can take it or you can leave it or I will leave. But like that level of freedom, I think, is what I want for every Black woman out there.
I love that. I love that. And it kind of goes back to, you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about is shame, right? I think that's another thing that I want to see us as Black women free from is shame. Like you said, it took time to just even be able to tell this story without trembling. The things that we are ashamed of. And a lot of them have nothing to do with us.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's not even our shit, but we're ashamed of other people's shit, you know? And that's what one thing that I also want for us is to be able to work through the shame that is saddling us, that is holding us back.
So how, Felicia, do you think we should continue to celebrate our freedoms? I actually feel like we need to prioritize freedom.
Well, one of the things I do think about is the work that is our work, right? working through the trauma that we've experienced, working through the conditioning that we've experienced. That is our work I think we should be doing, because it does help to set us free for sure. But then I also think that we do need to celebrate every little goddamn thing. You know what I mean? Because like, we ain't even supposed to be here. I don't know if you ever saw that video that Plies does where he's like, stop asking Black women out at dinner. What is the occasion? What are you guys celebrating? What's the occasion? He's like, balling is the motherfucking occasion. And I feel like every day is the motherfucking occasion that we are here.
It's a Wednesday, bitch.
It's a Wednesday. You know how many motherfuckers has been trying to take us out for how long? It's Wednesday. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm laughing with my girls loudly. That's why I'm telling you to fuck off, is because I'm celebrating. And I just want to see us indulge, which is a word I love, more in just celebrating the everyday.
I love that as well.
I just want us to try to get as close to who we are and what we want and not being afraid of those things, whether it's because society tells us we shouldn't want those things or we shouldn't be that person. Or yeah. I just want us to, if there's a fight, a modern day fight that I can get with, is us fighting to be as close to our authentic selves as possible, to go after the desires of our hearts as much as possible.
I love that.
If more honeys, if we were able to do that, that would warm my heart for sure.
I love it. My heart. So Felicia, this has been a great episode. And thank you very much, honeys, for listening in. You've heard this from us before, and ain't no lies. We say, child, please.
Child, please.
If you want it, you got it, go get it.
Say it again so people know what the actual song is, because you also wrote this piece.
In a closet in my house.
You wrote this, child, so tell us please, what the lyrics are.
Child, please. If you want it, you got it, go get it. Child, please. Child, please. Mm. The world is waiting for you.
Yes, honey. I'm about to go out there. The world is waiting for me.
Until next time, honeys. Go out and be free.
And be free.
Be free. Freedom, freedom. I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Hey, hey, hey.
Child Please is brought to you by Honey Child. Episodes drop every other Tuesday. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, iHeart, Stitcher. And if you like what you hear, write a review, tell a friend. And to keep the conversation going, sign up for A Taste of Honey, our newsletter. You can find that at www.honey-child.com. That's honey-child.com. And follow us on Instagram at It's Honey Child.
Hey, honeys. Honey Child is an independent boutique media and entertainment company run by Black women. We speak with love to an underserved audience, Black women 40 and over, or honeys as we call them. And we're not just bringing our own seats, we're building our own damn table too. And we'd love for you to be a part of it. Become a Honey Insider. Support what you want to see in the world and receive exclusive access to what we're building. To learn more, head to our website at honey-child.com. Honey-child.com.